Hello, my name is Ashley Kissinger.
And I'm Karen Espino.
And we worked on occupational hazards of waste and recycling workers with the Los Angeles Alliance for New Economies Don't Waste LA campaign. We have no financial relationships to disclose. So the waste and recycling industry is a forgotten industry. Once or twice a week, we all take our trash and recycling out to the curb. A truck comes by, takes it away from us, and we never see it again. And we don't really think about it afterwards, right? Yeah. Okay. So the private waste and recycling industry in California, especially in Los Angeles, is largely unregulated due to the high number of diversity of companies. The waste industry is extremely dangerous. Anywhere from 45 to 60 workers die each year as a result of this work. The majority of this industry's workforce is made up of truck drivers who transport waste to recycling facilities and waste sorters who actually separate trash from recyclables. All the workers in this industry come into daily contact with health and safety hazards such as used syringes, feces, blood, animal carcasses, and other hazardous materials. These workers are of extreme importance and play a crucial public health role. However, their health and safety is often overlooked, even at a time of statewide green initiatives.
So our project took place in the San Fernando Valley, which is an area of Los Angeles, California, and this is a prime example of a city with an unregulated waste industry. Our project was a continuation of the 2010 OHIP internship working with the Los Angeles Alliance for a New Economy, LANE's Don't Waste LA campaign, which works to improve working conditions of the sorters in this industry. The 2010 OHIP interns, they had sought to document the worker conditions among truck drivers as well as the sorters within this industry. However, they were only able to document information on unionized truck drivers, and this was because they had the support of the local Teamsters Union. Unfortunately, no information was collected for the waste sorters because they are not unionized. However, LANE really wanted this information. They wanted this information to humanize the injustices of sorters in order to, you know, talk to policymakers as well as the public and make them recognize that there's a huge need to change this industry. So, you know, LANE had a general idea of the harsh working conditions of sorters. However, it was always a struggle for them to actually find sorters. And so, you know, that's where we came in. So our project focused on the occupational safety and health hazards of waste sorters.
Okay. So this is La Banda, in English meaning the conveyor belt where waste sorters work. Their primary job on La Banda is to separate out different materials such as plastic, aluminum, and construction waste. All of the sorters we interviewed are Latino males who only speak Spanish. Workers should receive adequate training and personal protective equipment, and one of the largest concerns working on La Banda is the constant pressure from supervisors to work fast.
So the goals for our project this summer were three. The first one was to conduct in-depth interviews of sorters who work in the San Fernando Valley, and this was so that we could get a better understanding of the harsh working conditions. Number two was to support LANE's Don't Waste LA campaign, and the last was to advance our personal knowledge of working conditions of undocumented, non-unionized sorters.
As Karen stated previously, LANE experienced difficulty actually accessing sorters. Therefore, our strategy this year was to work in conjunction with day laborer centers in order to access this population. And CHIRLA, or the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, was essential in connecting us with these centers. So Karen and I actually worked out of two day laborer centers, which are located next to Home Depots in the San Fernando Valley. For 8 weeks, Monday through Saturday, we were seen at these centers. We would walk around, talk to the workers, and really try and get to know them. And although it was very difficult at first, you know, as time went on, workers began to recognize us, open up, and actually trust us with their stories, which led to us making contacts with waste sorters. And we ended up interviewing three current and three former sorters. We based our interviews on 25 open-ended questions inquiring about workplace environment, personal histories, and injuries. These interviews were often done at a safe place, as you can see here, McDonald's, where waste sorters felt most comfortable. They felt comfortable not being seen by their employers or their coworkers. Fear of retaliation is very common amongst waste sorters, and they feared if they were seen with us, they would be fired from their jobs.
So to give you a little idea of, you know, some of the stories that we were able to capture during the project, we have the case study of Carlos. So Carlos is a middle-aged undocumented Mexican male who came to the U.S. with hopes of offering his children better opportunities. He began working as a sorter after his friend told him to apply. He had no idea what the job entailed. He was paid minimum wage, which was $8 an hour, never received any benefits, and never received a pay increase. On his first day, the only thing he was pretty much told was, you know, pretty much where to stand on la banda, what sort of trash to be sorting out, and what type of equipment to wear. He pretty much learned the do's and don'ts by watching his fellow sorters, so no real training. He was required to wear a helmet, safety glasses, gloves, a mask, and earplugs. However, he told us that unfortunately not all of the safety equipment was replaced as needed. So for example, he talked about his gloves. They were expected to last for 1 week, when in reality they would only last a day from constantly getting soiled from handling the waste. Other common problems he noted were the constant inhaling of fine dust, the awful smell from the waste, and the danger of encountering, as we've already explained, used syringes, dead animals, and, you know, other hazards on la banda. Also, unfortunately for Carlos, he was severely injured on the job, which is quite common. He remembers being caught, dragged through la banda, and he lost consciousness. He had to be hospitalized for 2 weeks, and for fear of losing his job, he returned immediately to work. Carlos didn't know anything about workers' compensation. In addition to this, Carlos had a lot of pressure from his manager to work, you know, really fast and finish the facility's daily quota. This meant even if he had to stay and work past his 8-hour shift with no overtime.
So Carlos's story is similar to the experiences of the other 5 sorters, despite all having worked at different waste facilities. One of our main successes was actually interviewing 6 sorters, which may seem like a very small number, but up to this point it was unheard of for the Don't Waste LA campaign. Other successes were gaining valuable friendships with workers. We were often invited to share stories over lunch, collaborating with several nonprofit organizations such as Lane and Cheerla, and raising overall awareness for the working conditions of waste industry workers. And lastly, thanks to NIEHS, we were able to present this project as a poster presentation at an environmental justice conference, you see, One Community, One Environment, this summer in Detroit, Michigan.
And, you know, despite our success in getting the 6 interviews, we did face some challenges. Our biggest challenge was actually getting access to sorters, and this was for, you know, different reasons. The first one was that current sorters are working throughout the day, and Ashley and I didn't have any access to the private waste and recycling facilities. Second was that the former sorters were either afraid to speak up or they were not at the day laborer centers. Third, once we located the sorters, gaining their trust, as we already mentioned, was very, very difficult. So it required multiple, you know, meetings, multiple conversations until they felt comfortable and opened up. And last but not least, it was really difficult for us to convince them that we were not working for, you know, immigration agency.
So how do we move forward from this? After hearing the stories of the waste sorters and in conjunction with Don't Waste LA's campaign, we suggest the following recommendations: to enforce worker training prior to and throughout employment to enhance workers' ability to recognize hazards, rotate workers' schedules to decrease possible exposures to hazardous materials, keep work areas free of clutter to reduce risk of injury, improve overall facility hygiene, and lastly, provide adequate personal protective equipment. And this means hard hat, gloves, goggles, earplugs, mask with filter, gloves, reflective vests, and steel-toe shoes.
And although we would love to, but we cannot provide a quick fix to the industry, we were able to give Lane the 6 in-depth interviews that we conducted. And this has actually been very successful in their campaign. They have actually used these interviews with policymakers. For example, they've used them at some worker delegations as well as public hearings. Also, for the centers, the day labor centers that we worked at, we were able to give the workers their gloves, you know, a decent pair of gloves that they actually could use whenever they went, you know, and got a job for the day, as well as some cases of bottled water. And, you know, they were very thankful, and we were just very appreciative of all the help that they gave us.
So Karen and I feel very privileged to have worked as OHIP interns on this specific project of waste and recycling workers.
And as you can see, some of the people and the organizations that made this project a success are listed, and we thank you for that.